Chapter 3. Reality. To quote Einstein, reality, which elsewhere he says, is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one, is the real business of physics. At the end of the day, science is empirical, and its theories must be grounded somehow in reality. But where, and furthermore, what exactly is that reality? Wolfgang Pauli comments, "The important and extremely difficult task of our time is to work on the construction of a new idea of reality." Physicist Hans-Peter Dürr, a longtime co-worker of Heisenberg's, comments, "Reality reveals itself primarily as nothing but potentiality." But where is the ontological ground upon which our impression of a really existing universe, our idea of reality, rests? Speaking about reality, quantum theory brings the question to the fore: are we discovering reality or creating it? And if we are at least in part creating what we call reality, what are we creating it out of? Wheeler writes, "What we call reality consists of a few iron posts of observation between which we fill in by an elaborate papier-mâché construction of imagination and theory." In other words, what we refer to as reality is a construction made out of, by, and in our imagination. In the words of John Lennon, reality leaves a lot to the imagination. In essence, physics is an imaginative vision of how the world might be put together. We connect the dots between a few iron posts of observation so as to create a seemingly coherent picture of our world, the meaning of which is derived from our minds and takes as its basis whatever prevailing theory or set of assumptions we presently think of as being true. To quote Philip K. Dick, "Regard this as a scientific hypothesis. What we call reality is in fact an objectification of our prior thought formations, projected onto a pseudo-world." The idea that reality is composed of projected thought forms that become objectified is a precise description of the dreamlike nature of reality. It is also the deeper message of the wisdom text, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which in its essence points out that whatever we are experiencing is not separate from our own consciousness, and that recognizing this is a critically important realization that changes everything in terms of the nature, quality, and depth of our experience of ourselves and all of existence. In the 21st century, science is the arbiter of what is real. This should give us pause. If we are not careful, we can easily fall into a category error, imagining that science's version of reality is reality itself. Reality is just a word in our language. Our sense of reality depends upon the structure of our consciousness, as well as the ways that we engage and direct our consciousness. To quote Jung, "One always talks of reality as though it were the only one. Reality is simply what works in a human soul." What we call reality is simply a theory, a mental map, an internalized mental model which at bottom is simply a way of looking at the world. It is a perspective rather than a form of absolutely true knowledge of how the world really is. The word theory is derived from the Greek theoria, which has to do with contemplation, speculation, and sight. A theory is simply the way we are seeing and trying to apprehend the world at any given moment. It is important not to conflate reality with our theories, not to confuse the map with the territory. Our best models and theories are no more than aids to our imagination. By no means are they complete reflections of the nature of reality. Our theories not only fit what we know about the world, but at the same time they point to what we don't know, and ideally are able to reveal it to us. They can thus become supports for the ongoing process of continually refining our intuition. Theories become aids to reflection, as poet and philosopher Samuel Taylor Coleridge would have called them, not final codifications of truth. There is a fine line between imagination, reality, and illusion. Wheeler writes, "Recent decades have taught us that physics is a magic window. It shows us the illusion that lies behind reality, and the reality that lies behind illusion. Today, we demand of physics some understanding of existence itself." In his writings, Wheeler quotes Bohr, "Deduce the quantum from an understanding of existence." There appears to be a fissure in what we thought was reality, and quantum physics is the thread that is increasingly protruding through the crack that if we have the courage to follow where it is leading us, can potentially unravel our ideas about everything. Wheeler uses the image of a rope tied in a knot in such a way that if it is pulled, the knot will fall apart into nothingness. In an interview, Wheeler said, "I continue to say that the quantum is the crack in the armor that covers the secret of existence." This is big stuff indeed, particularly from the physics of the very small. Wheeler's words bring to mind the lyrics from Leonard Cohen's song, Anthem. "There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." There is a sense throughout Wheeler's writings that he recognizes that quantum physics is revealing something previously undreamed of. Wheeler writes that it is undeniable that each of us, as observer, is also one of the participators in bringing reality into being. Through our acts of observation, we are shaping reality while simultaneously being shaped by it. To quote Wheeler, "The observations of all participators, past, present, and future, join together to define what we call reality." Is there a subtle form of teleology embedded in the observer's role in the quantum world? In other words, are we being shown something? Are we being led to a new way of seeing our world which will change not only ourselves, but the way our world manifests to us? It is as if the physical world comes into being so that consciousness can become aware of its own nature. This is reminiscent of the French Jesuit theologian Pierre Teilhard de Chardin's idea that the universe is directed towards a goal that he called the Omega Point. He conceived of this as an evolutionary impulse within humanity, as well as within the universe itself, that was ascending towards consciousness, resulting in an individuated consciousness directly recognizing/cognizing its own nature. At Deschardin's Omega Point, there is a direct, non-conceptual comprehension of the ground of being by the fundamental cognizant aspect of the ground of being itself, with human beings as the instruments through which this realization occurs. At the Omega Point, our true nature recognizes, comprehends, and illumines itself. From the atemporal point of view, we are already at the Omega Point, and what is happening in our world is the footprint of this realization projected backwards in time. This is to say that the events playing out in linear time are the very vehicle through which the Omega Point realizes itself through us, provided, of course, that we recognize that this is the case. Nobel laureate Ilya Prigozhin echoes Wheeler's perspective when he says, "Whatever we call reality, it is revealed to us only through an act of construction in which we participate. Whatever reality is, one thing is beyond doubt. It is not classical, but quantum mechanical." Einstein envisioned our universe as a great eternal riddle. Are the insights of quantum physics providing the clue that will help us to solve this cosmic riddle and lead us to a previously undreamed of treasure just waiting to be discovered? Wheeler comments, "Except it be that observership brings the universe into being, what other way is there to understand that clue? It is as if the universe itself is conspiring with us to help us awaken to its and our nature, and quantum physics is the theoretical and experimental instrument for this deeper insight to reveal itself." According to a remark attributed to the ever-optimistic Wheeler, somewhere something incredible is waiting to happen. In an interview, Wheeler points out, "One of the conditions, I think, for advance in this field, as in any field, is believing that advance is possible. If, on the other hand, we become entrenched in a pessimistic viewpoint, the dreamlike universe will simply supply all of the needed evidence to prove our viewpoint in a self-created and self-fulfilling prophecy. In this case, we are unwittingly investing in and helping to create the very negative events that we are using as evidence to prove the rightness of our pessimistic outlook. We are then using our own genius for co-creating reality in a perverse way that not only doesn't serve us, but is potentially destroying us. If we are asleep to the dreamlike nature of the universe, it is easy to fall into what Bohm calls self-deception. Buddha called it avidya, that is, not seeing, ignorance, through which, by misunderstanding the nature of ourselves, the universe, and our place in it, we unwittingly and unnecessarily enslave ourselves. By failing to comprehend the nature of our situation, we lacerate and cripple both the universe and ourselves, erroneously misidentifying with a false separate self that is seemingly disconnected from the whole. If we view the physics community as an individual and quantum physics as its dream, it is as if physicists have dreamed up quantum theory in all its glory as a compensation for our intellectual one-sidedness, as a way of showing us our blind spot and reflecting back to us our unfounded, unconscious assumptions. As crazy as it might sound, quantum physics, with all of its seeming absurdity, is revealing a deeper order of nature that transcends the bias of the predominant scientific worldview. It is a medicine for the overly materialistic madness we've succumbed to. Wheeler refers to the old mechanistic viewpoint of the universe as a machine that goes its own inexorable and deterministic way as a cracked paradigm. It is as if the mind informing the field of the old physics has become cracked or lost touch with reality. Our old worldview, in Philip K. Dick's words, is shabby and cracking apart and fading away. The pre-quantum view of the world being analogous to a huge machine is not correct. The underlying structure of matter is not mechanical. To quote Bohm, this means that the term quantum mechanics is very much a misnomer. It should perhaps be called quantum non-mechanics. What we construe to be reality is the medium through which the deeper mysterious dimension of the quantum registers and makes itself available to us. Something beyond what we know of as reality impinges upon what we think of as reality. What Dick refers to as a perturbation in the reality field. Leaving consciousness completely out of our map of the universe is an egregious error that is as absurd as it is insane and tragic. It is the product of a mind clearly in a deep state of unconsciousness and delusion, suffering from a severe dissociative disorder. Once consciousness is factored into the equation of our quantum universe, it is the classical picture of a mechanical universe that starts looking bizarre. Something far saner, which from our becoming conditioned to the cracked paradigm might look insane, is emerging through the cracks in the mechanistic, materialistic worldview. Quantum physics points at and is an expression of our universe being more like a conscious organism than a robotic machine. Wheeler felt that when we finally discover what's at the bottom of what's really going on in our universe, we won't find any sort of glittering central mechanism at all. Commenting on what he imagines we might find, Wheeler says, "Not machinery, but magic may be the better description of the treasure that is waiting." Some of the founders of quantum theory realized they had tapped into what could be accurately described as a quasi-magical process. To quote Wheeler, "There is some magic in this universe of ours." Wheeler dedicates his autobiography not only to his teachers, students, and colleagues, but to the still unknown person or persons who will further illuminate the magic of this strange and beautiful world of ours by discovering how come the quantum. In his writings, he makes the point that the magic inherent in the universe by itself isn't sufficient, but rather what is needed is magic plus the prepared mind. It's as if the magic inherent in our universe wanted to reveal itself through the vehicle of hard science, and abracadabra, the result is quantum physics. Wheeler, wondering about the universe in his inimitable style, asks, "Is it all just a magic show?" Seen as a symbol crystallizing out of the dreamlike nature of reality, quantum physics is revealing to us that we don't live in the mechanistic, Cartesian world of classical physics, but rather inhabit an enchanted world that is linked to our mind's creative imagination.